Hello, friends and family and strangers whom I have not yet met. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. My name is Renee Antrosio, and it is my privilege to pastor at New Covenant for 9 years and to be part of this fellowship since 1998. Our theme today is Can't Stop Speaking, taken from Peter's words in the 4th chapter of Acts, that the apostles can't stop speaking about what they have seen and heard, no matter what the authorities say, whether or not they are popular, whatever the consequences may be. What was good news for many ordinary, everyday people seemed threatening to the status quo and made the authorities look bad. Joy for some provoked fear in others. As I have been contemplating this message for the past week or so, I've wondered, what are the things that I, that you, that we can't stop talking about? I have really been enjoying the fireflies this summer. I don't remember making such a big deal about them before. Are they more abundant this year? Am I taking notice more? Is it a difference in my attention to them or a difference in their activity? Likely a bit of both. I've been telling everyone about them, urging friends and neighbors to go outside at dusk and marvel at the lightning bugs. Because of my newfound love for these amazing creatures, I've been learning more about what they like, how to create a habitat that encourages them to make their home in my yard. Wetness, wildness, tall grasses and shrubs, native plants and leaves that are left to overwinter. Turns out, firefly larvae need leaf litter to survive the winter. They also eat slugs and snails, which are common garden pests. In their adult stage, fireflies become pollinators. They need shady areas, water sources, and darkness so that they don't have to compete with other light sources to attract their mates. Because I want to have more fireflies, I begin intentionally cultivating an environment that encourages them to make their home in my yard, and encourage you and anyone I talk to do the same. Avoid insecticides. Don't bag up all the leaves in the fall. Keep some areas of the lawn long or unmowed. Water, not just for the trees and my own plantings, but for the lightning bugs, to entice them to make their home with me. What are the things that you can't stop talking about? What is a passion you want to share? Something that keeps coming up in conversations with family, friends, and strangers. Take a minute. Jot it down. Think back over recent conversations. What themes do you notice? In her poem entitled Sometimes, Mary Oliver writes, "Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it." This is what Peter and John were doing. They saw the man being carried to the temple to beg for alms. They paid attention. When Jesus had called them from their fishing boats, they listened. They had paid attention to Jesus' words and deeds, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, teaching the people. And even though they hadn't understood that the Anointed One was to suffer and be killed, that God would raise him from the dead, they were able to pay attention. They were truly astonished. And the Holy Spirit gave them the power, the words, to tell about it. They couldn't stop speaking about what they had seen and heard. Lately, I've been having many more conversations with people who are strangers to me, as I have been helping a friend navigate cancer treatment and changes in health insurance. Phone calls are not my strength. I grew up in a place when many people did not have phones. We had a party line for a short period of time, which meant several families somehow used the same phone line. If you picked up the phone to make a call and heard other people talking, you were supposed to quietly hang up and try again later. Not surreptitiously listen in for juicy gossip or interrupt to insist that it was your turn to use the phone. Long distance calls were expensive, and lectures about not being on the phone too long were common. So, for a host of reasons, I am phone avoidant. In social work grad school, one assignment was to create a treatment plan for oneself to change a pattern that interfered with work or personal life. I wrote up a plan to treat my condition of phone avoidance. But I didn't follow it. I just turned in the assignment, got my good grade, which was my true motivator, and chose a school social work position that was all about in-person interactions and had very few phone call requirements. 25 years later, I am wryfully amused to notice that God seems to be implementing God's own treatment plan to address my pattern of phone avoidance, so that not only do I answer more often when someone calls, I am also initiating phone calls more than ever. As I've been talking with hospital social workers, healthcare providers, personnel at the VA, and insurance companies, I've noticed how very differently those conversations can go, depending on how each person approaches their job and how I choose to interact. A stanza from David White's poem, Two Strangers, has caught and held my attention. I keep returning to it, shocked by its strange truth, articulating an idea entirely new to me. The world is full of strangers who demand our love and deserve it. The world is full of strangers who demand our love and deserve it. What a different way of looking at the world. How do we interact with strangers in person or by phone? To Peter and John, the man outside the temple was a stranger. He wanted money. They gave him love, Jesus' love through the power of healing, not a sermon or pity or money, love. The people we encounter each day, the strangers, how do we see them? How do we respond? Can we bring love and healing in Jesus' name? I get tripped up over the last line, especially the word deserve. Do we deserve love? Do strangers deserve our love or the love of Jesus? Is that biblical? Christian? Considering those questions, I was reminded of a passage in Richard Rohr's book, Yes And, that also surprised me as a truth that I often struggle with. He says that Christian mysticism begins when the totally transcendent image of God starts to recede and there's a deepening sense of God as immanent, present, here, now, safe, and even within me. The mystics are those who are let in on this secret mystery of God's love affair with the soul, each knowing God loves my soul in particular. God loves me uniquely. All true love gives us this sense of being special, chosen, and like nobody else. This is why we are so joyful in the presence of our lover who mirrors us with a divine mirror. Have we experienced that? Do we dare believe that God loves us uniquely, loves our soul in particular? Can I accept the sense of being special and chosen, believing that God also chooses you to love uniquely, like nobody else? Does this truth resonate in you, or do we resist it? When I think about the Gospel of John, where the writer refers to the disciple that Jesus loved, I wonder if that is a reflection of this truth, the joyful presence of the lover who mirrors us with a divine love. I invite you to think, pray, and journal on this possibility in the coming days. What would it be like to have a deepening sense of God with you, present, and loving you as special, like nobody else? It is in receiving that love, I think, that we are more and more able to share it, even with strangers and with those closest to us, to recognize that love of them, in them. So what are these words we have to share with the world, with strangers, with those we encounter each day? How can our words be a balm, a healing, a love? I want to share one more poem that has been working on me for this teaching, entitled Loaves and Fishes, also by David White. Loaves and Fishes. This is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for 1,000. When the hospital social worker called me with the good word that the way to access health care and cancer treatment for my friend was to contact the VA hospital in Danville, that good word was bread. It multiplied as I shared it. Much needed bread when we desperately needed a crumb, a miracle. Since reading this poem, I've been noticing how a good word feeds people. We were at lunch last week talking about basketball players returning to do sports clinics at the Park District. A nearby stranger said, "That's my nephew." A friend was able to share some words of affirmation about him as a person and a player that really made this stranger smile with delight. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for 1,000. What good words might you be prompted to share with friends and strangers? As we have been listening for the Holy Spirit, making more space in our services to hear the Spirit speaking, Shireen has shared words from the Lord for us, which we came back around to in her prayer for this service. Good words to feed us, not just once, not just one person, but again and again, multiplied to feed many, with leftovers to share. Our friend Virginia is someone who can't stop speaking about what Jesus has done for her, how the 23rd Psalm comforts and guides her, how Jesus is with her on the rugged road, giving her peace, loving her with that special love, his chosen one. Which brings me back to the fireflies. If I want more lightning bugs in my yard, there are things I can do to cultivate an environment that welcomes their presence. I can't make them come, but I can prepare myself and my garden. There are some things to eliminate, chemicals that would hurt them, and other things to do less of, less mowing, less bagging of leaves in the fall, and things to do more of, more watering, more native plants, more wild spaces, more shade, more places for them to hide and overwinter. If we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there are things we can do to cultivate an environment that welcomes the Spirit's presence. What are the things to eliminate? Things that quench the Spirit or drive it away? What are the things to do less of? And what are the things to do more of? Create more space for quiet, prayer and reflection, individually and corporately. I invite you, I invite us to be praying and asking the Lord what we can do to cultivate an environment where the Spirit is welcome, where it can thrive in us. As we experience more of the Spirit, we will want to share what we see and hear, perhaps even to the point that we can't stop speaking about what God is doing. That like the healed man, we will be walking and leaping and praising God. That like the strangers standing around, people will praise God for what happens. That many will hear the word and become believers in the way of Jesus. Like the apostles, we may be inexperienced. We may not have credentials or a particular education, but the Spirit can give us the confidence, the words to share that will bring healing and sustenance to those around us. May we be recognized as followers of Jesus by our words and deeds. May we pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. May ours be the good words that are multiplied as bread to feed 1,000. May we experience the love of the divine mirror loving us uniquely. And may we share that love with strangers and friends. Amen.